Ephesians chapter 3. I don't even know if I can preach after that. Whoa. As a pastor with responsibilities of presenting God's word, you know, there's certain messages that are just really exciting. And there's certain messages that are kind of hard and tough and challenging. There's certain messages that you just think, how in the world can I communicate this? And today is one of those days. How, God, can I communicate this message that is so powerful, but yet has been heard so much that many Christians will just tune out the pastor and simply say, I've heard that before. This morning, we'll be talking about love and God's love. And I would encourage you to resist the temptation to just simply snuggle back in your chair and say, yeah, God loves me, I've heard that before. But instead, you would allow the Holy Spirit to come, as only He can do, and answer Paul's prayer that he prays for the Ephesians for you today. I remember hearing a man tell me once, who had grown up in the church and had heard many sermons on God's love, looked at me and said, I don't need to hear any more messages about the love of God. And some may feel like that today. Jason, I know God loves me. I stand before you this morning to tell you, yes, I know God loves you, and I know God loves me, and I know you probably know that God loves you. But that we don't this morning say, well, I've heard this, and so I just cut it out. And then we leave here today with the same definition of love. We leave here today with our same understanding that we came here with this morning. But that there'd be a freshness. So let's just pray this morning. And I pray before I preach every week, because I really want the Lord to minister through me to you. And it's important that my heart is in a condition to allow that to happen. And it's also important that your heart is in the condition to receive from God and what He has for you this morning. So can we do that this morning? Can we just pray and just, and not just as a routine, but just allowing and asking the Holy Spirit to come. So Lord, we do ask God that you would come and bring clarity to this message of love. That the hearts of your people this morning will be soft to receive it. That we would not just live based upon what our own thinking is, or our own definition is, or our own experiences tell us what love is, but God, we would be vulnerable to you this morning and say, come and speak to us a fresh and new word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul gives us his second prayer that he prays for the church. We've already looked at one of them, that the eyes of our understanding would be open, they'd be enlightened, that we could see and come to the knowledge of who God is, come to the knowledge of Christ and what He's done for us. And Paul now gives to us another one of his prayers that he prays for this young church, again, about 6 years old, as Paul writes to them. And I think it's important for us to see the heart of Paul. Paul is one of those men that when I get to heaven, I can't wait to meet. I mean, just, he's one of these men that, again, as we talked about last week, in the wisdom of God, most people would have written Paul off. There's no way God could ever save him, let alone use him. But Paul was a man that was completely abandoned to the Lord. I mean, his life. I mean, you can see, if you want to know what it's like to be completely abandoned, if you want a picture, study the life of Paul, and you will see that. It's important for us to see this because Paul, this man who's completely abandoned to the Lord, this man who has done tremendous things of being used of God, we see what's important to him and what's on his heart for this church. And if it's important for Paul to pray these things for the church, I think it's important for us to at least understand why it is, what it was that brought the value to that. If it was important to Paul to pray for this church, then maybe it's something that we should look in and understand it for ourselves. In verse 13, he says, "Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory." This section of scripture starts off here as Paul says, as he's talked about all the wisdom of God and all these things, and we talked about last week. It says, to whom, verse 12, to whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And then Paul in verse 13 says, now I don't want you to be discouraged. Don't become discouraged at the tribulation that I'm facing. Don't become discouraged. Don't lose heart. And then we see his prayer that he prays for a church that he doesn't want to become discouraged. Paul is going to reveal to us, don't become discouraged, and here's what I'm praying for you. Have you ever been discouraged? Here's a prayer that you can go to and see what Paul was praying for Christians who were potentially discouraged. Paul says, don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't lose your faith. Don't give up. Here's what I'm praying for you. And he writes out this prayer or these prayer requests that he prays. And in the Greek, these are actually verses 14 through 19 is actually just one sentence, 86 words. And then the rest of the chapter is 37 words in the original. So there are two really big, long sentences that Paul writes out. And this morning, let's take a look at these sentences. Let's take a look at these words and the heart behind them. It says in verse 13, don't become discouraged at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. It says, For this reason, because I don't want you to become discouraged, for this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So he paints a picture of who God is. He tells us that who is God? Who is this one that he's praying to? And we've talked about this before, so we won't get into that this morning. But we see who Paul is addressing in his prayer. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. We've looked at this before in this phrase, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. The word according means in measure of. So Paul is praying that this church would not be discouraged, but instead that God, in measure of his riches, of his glory, to the measure of God's wealth, that he would then turn and bless you and strengthen you with might through his spirit in the inner man. We see that God strengthens the believer, the Christian, according to or in measure of his wealth. How many people know this morning that God is wealthy? God lacks nothing. He has more than enough. Right? God is more than enough. Does that ring a bell? God is more than enough. And Paul prays for this young church that God would strengthen them according to that measure, which means that God can strengthen and will strengthen the Christian according to the measure that God has. Therefore, anything that I face in my life, anything that would want to come and bring discouragement upon me, the measure of God is greater than that discouragement, than that challenge, than that storm. And so God is being asked here of Paul to strengthen them with might through his spirit in the inner man, that it is God that strengthens the believer. We got to understand that. It's just, that's Christianity 101. Yeah, God is my strength. But is he? I mean, do you allow him to be? Whenever we're discouraged, so many times we want to just, you know, pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and try to, you know, survive on our own. Or we get together with brothers and sisters in Christ or just friends and we just try to encourage each other and say this and say that. But Paul says, no, I'm going to turn my attention. I'm going to address the creator of all things, the God of the universe. And I'm going to ask him, the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come and strengthen you according to or in measure of his wealth and his strength. There is nothing too powerful for God. There is nothing greater than God. There is nothing that God looks at and says, man, I wish I was strong enough to deal with that. Nothing. God can deal with everything. God has proven his power. He's proven his strength. And so when God strengthens us as the Christian, he strengthens us to the measure of his strength. So don't be discouraged this morning, Christian. If you're discouraged this morning, don't be discouraged. And we're going to pray and ask God to fill you and to strengthen you with the power of his might by his Spirit. It comes from him. It is his. It will look different than what the world says it's supposed to look like. It will feel different than what the world says it's supposed to feel like. But it will accomplish greater things because it will be long-lasting. You know, we try to encourage ourselves by, oh, someday this will all end, or I'll just make it through it. No, no, no. Paul prays that you do not become discouraged from my suffering for the gospel. Do not become discouraged at the report that you hear about me. But instead I pray to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will strengthen you with the power of his might, according to his power, with his Spirit, and he'll strengthen you in the inner man. The part of you that's been rebirthed, the part of you that God has given to you, his Spirit, the part of you that will live forever in glory, that man, that person, that part of you that will last, the part of you that God breathes life into, that the spirit of who you are, that person, that part of you will be strengthened with power from God. Look at verse 17. So he prays that they'll be strengthened. And here's the reason, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray for you guys that your inner man will be strengthened. Don't become discouraged. Don't become discouraged. Don't give up. I'm praying that God will strengthen you in the inner man according to his might, by his Spirit, by his power, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, the foundation for us to understand God's love is the love of God. In other words, if I'm grounded in the word or in the love of God, then I can understand and comprehend the love of God. The foundation that you, being rooted and grounded in love. And then he's just going to go on to describe the vastness of God's love. That you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. That Christ may dwell in your heart, verse 17. That you being rooted and grounded in love may comprehend or understand God's love, the love of Christ. Now, this is going to seem weird. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend, right? May be able to understand, verse 18. Could jump down to verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Paul prays that you will get an understanding of something that is almost impossible to understand. Remember last week when we looked at God's wisdom and the vastness of his wisdom? Do you remember that? The complex beauty in the Greek, the many-colored, many-sided wisdom of God. Paul is painting us a picture in this text of the many-colored sides of his love. He's given to us that God is wise. He's shown us that his wisdom is beyond our wisdom, and there's this unsearchable realm of discovering God's wisdom. And now he's going to say, you know what, there's an unsearchable realm of God's love. That God's love is longer and wider and higher and deeper than anything you've ever experienced. And that's why this morning I'm reserved in the sense of preaching this message, because some people, oh, I've heard that before. Really? Let me ask you a question. Have you explored all the wisdom of God? Have you? I haven't. And I would be safe to say that nobody has. There's always something more of God that we can discover, amen? There's always something greater of God. The Bible tells us that now, here on earth, we see as though through a mirror dimly. We see little bits and pieces that God allows us to see. And it is so the same way with God's love. You know God loves you this morning, but have you seen how high his love is for you? Have you reached the heights of his love? I haven't. Have you reached the depths of his love? Do you know how far his love is? Have you explored God's love? Or how about how wide does it go? How far does his love stretch? How far does his love cover? Have we understood that? Paul prays for this church that they would be strengthened in their inner man by God's power, by his spirit, that Christ would come and dwell in their hearts, that they could be rooted and grounded in love, and rooted and grounded in love. Now, therefore, go explore and comprehend the uncomprehendable. Just as the Holy Spirit gives us power and understanding to understand the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit gives us understanding of God's love for us. It's hard for us to understand this because we use love and we use that word for everything. I love pizza. I love coffee. I love this. I love that. I love this. We use the word as though it's just like, you know, anything else. You know? Do you like this? I don't know. Do you like it? I don't know. I love it. Oh, that means a lot. Right? When we use this word, and in areas and in relationships where it's supposed to mean the most, many times love isn't displayed at all. So we become confused and our understanding becomes limited. And what does it mean when we say that God loves us? What does it mean when we say that God's love for us is so high and so wide and so deep and so far? What does that mean? Because, Jason, when I think of the word love, I think of a relationship that ended. I think of my childhood that wasn't that great. When you say the word love, I think of football. I mean, what do you mean God loves me? I don't understand this. I know what love is. Love is you will accept me as long as I perform for you. That's what love must mean. No, that's not God's love. I know what love is. Love is when I do something enough and I please you enough that now you will accept me. No, that is not God's love. But that's what we have turned it into. And unfortunately, even in the Christian realm, we've taken the world's definition of love and we've tried to squeeze it in here somehow, and it doesn't work. So you have Christians today that don't understand the love of God. We have Christians today who will look at the pastor and say, don't preach on the love of God. I don't need to hear any more messages like that. When this is the foundation of everything. But because we've been hurt, because we have limited understanding, because we are lazy, we don't want to pursue the love of God and really understand and really receive it. Pride will reject the love of God in a person's life. Oh, God couldn't love me. Look at what I've done. God couldn't love me. Just as in the vastness of God's complexity of his wisdom, there's the vastness of the complexity of his love. But yet it's so simple because it's been proven. I don't think anybody has the right to question God's love for them. God has proven his love. He has proven it. You can go in history and you can look at it and you can see God did that. Why did he do that for you? Why would he do that for me? Because he loves you. I don't understand what that word love means. How could God love me? Paul writes in Romans, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. First part of that verse, chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated his own love for us. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were his enemies, before we could impress him or please him or earn it, God says, I love you, and I will prove my love for you by sending my son to die on the cross. And Jesus came. And because of his love for you, went to the cross. Because of the power of God, he rose again from the dead. And Paul is praying to the church, don't become discouraged. I'm praying that God will fill you with his power inside and be strengthened in the inner man. That Christ could dwell in here. That you being rooted and grounded in love may begin to comprehend God's love for you. Let's flip back to Romans chapter 8. See another place in Scripture that has some similar wording, but yet it's from a different point of view. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is in Christ. It's proven in Christ. It's shown in Christ. And Paul writes and says, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. In other words, nothing can come and snatch us out of God's love. Because it is so vast, it is so complex. But many people, some even Christians, say there's a limit to God's love. And I've crossed the limit. Because God couldn't forgive me for this. God couldn't forgive me for that. We hear phrases like, well, if God loved me, then this wouldn't have happened. If God really cared, then why did this thing happen? Why did that thing happen? And we begin to look at God's love in our own filter, trying to understand these things. But being rooted and grounded in love, we can now begin to see the heights of his love. Begin to see that God does love me even though these bad things have happened. God does love me even though I have done these horrible things in my own life because of my own wrong decisions, because of my own sin. That God has proven his love for me and shown me his love. I'll flip back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 13. Familiar verse, but it's important for us to read it. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus' own word says, there's no greater love that can be defined than by a person willing to lay down his life. And Christ has laid down his life for us. Why did he do that? Because of his love. You say, that doesn't make sense. You're right, it doesn't make sense in the natural. But when we're rooted and grounded in love in Christ, and Christ dwells in our hearts, and we begin to understand God's love. I challenge you, this week, find three people, even strangers. It's better with strangers, because you never have to see them again. But walk up to them and simply say, do you know that God loves you? And see what their response is. Because their definition, what is their definition of love to begin with? And then they will either say yes or no, or, I know that. You know, just whatever. I'm not saying you don't have to preach to them. Just hey, do you know that God loves you? See what they say. Just see what they say. See what their response is. See what the reaction is that you get. God has proven his love. He has laid down his life. He has shown himself strong. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I want us to see this. One of the things that God's love does when we begin to understand God's love is that it compels us. It drives us. It becomes the foundation of how and why we live our lives. When we begin to understand God's love, then it changes the things that are important to us. And we begin to make decisions in our own life based upon our love for the Lord. Based upon what he's done for us, we say, wow, this doesn't make sense. You have loved us. You chose us. I didn't choose you. You chose me. And you've loved me. And I've received your love. Now I am falling in love with you. And now I will live accordingly. I will live in a way that honors and serves you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we have a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more. We've looked at this verse a few weeks ago in verse 16, but verse 15, it says that, you know, we've died to these things. We should no longer live in them. We should no longer live to meet our own needs. We should no longer live to satisfy ourselves. Isn't that what lust is? Lust is satisfying and gratifying self. And every form of the word, I can lust after material things. I can you know, lust after things, you know, in the flesh and do in that kind of realm. But love isn't about what I can get. Love is about what I can give. That's what love is. How does my wife know that how does she know that I love her? Because I give a lot. Amen. That's how you know if somebody loves you. That's how you know if somebody cares about you, because they give. But again, sometimes in areas and in relationships where love is supposed to be the very thing, love is not there. And there's hurt, and there's, instead of giving and serving, there's taking, and there's even abuse and those things. And so it thwarts our view of what love is. And so somebody comes up to you and says, you know, that God loves you. You say, I don't want his love. If God loved me, then you fill in the blanks and all these things. But Paul prays, and we've been praying, you know, the prayer that he prayed earlier, that our eyes of our understanding will be open and be enlightened. And as we go back to Ephesians chapter 3, would you begin to pray this for people in this church? Would you begin to pray this prayer for people that are in your family? Would you begin to pray that we wouldn't become discouraged in whatever we're facing? Would you pray that the power of God would come in and strengthen us in the inner man by the Holy Spirit? Would you pray for us? Would you pray for me that I would be rooted in love and that I could understand the vastness of God's love? And as I begin to understand the vastness of God's love, it compels me. It becomes the foundation for the things that I do. To live as a Christian is because of the love I have for God. And the more that I love God, the more that I see what he's done, what he's accomplished, the love grows, doesn't it? The excitement and the joy of the Christian begins to grow when we realize that God has forgiven us of our sins. When you realize that I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, it causes me to love God even more. Because, wow, look what God has done. I didn't know that. God did that for me. Wow. And it compels us to do good works, not to please man, but to please God. Because of what he's done for us. Paul ends what we know is chapter 3. Verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The title of today's message is Love, the Foundation of It All, is the reality of this. You cannot experience the fullness of God until you begin to understand the fullness of his love for you. You cannot experience the fullness of God in your life until you're willing to receive the fullness of his love for you. So you can't, you know, try to be a pious Christian all you want and say, well, God, he can't love me. I was a horrible sinner. Guess what? You're going to miss out on the fullness of God in your life. And actually, this is the New King James. The better, more accurate translation is actually in the NIV. It says, maybe filled to the fullness of God. It says being filled with. And again, it brings us back to the measure of God. God in all of his fullness, the foundation of his fullness is love. You want to experience the fullness of God in your life? Explore his love for you. Explore the power of his love. Go search it out. Go search out the height and the depth of his love. Verse 20, Paul closes his prayer. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Here again, we see that God's power working in the life of the believer. Paul is getting ready, which I don't know if he knew this or not, but he's getting ready to transition. First half of the book is who we are in Christ, what he's done for us. He's getting ready to transition into a practical application of that reality. And he reminds us again that God's working in us, the great power of God that's working in you. Don't become discouraged, church. Christian, don't lose heart. I'm praying for you that God will strengthen you in the inner man. I'm praying that you will come to know Christ as he dwells in your heart, be rooted in his love. You would search out and comprehend the vastness of his love. Don't become discouraged. Hold on. And you'd be filled with the fullness of God. Oh, and by the way, God is able. Amen. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do that because his great power that he works in the life of the believer. We ask many things, not fully understanding it. You know, in other words, we ask based upon the information that we have. God knows everything. That's why he's able to meet those prayers and go beyond it. Don't be discouraged, church. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you've asked or think. All those prayers that you've been praying, don't stop praying those prayers. Keep on praying them because God's able to meet those prayers and even answer them beyond what you even think he can answer. One of the things that God's been challenging me in is just the area of trust. Do I trust God? Do I trust God? I'm kind of a kind of guy that, I'll trust God in areas that I've kind of made sure that it's safe. Oh, yeah, I trust God. Ooh, this is fun. Take another step, Jason. I don't know, God, trust. Do I trust God? And as God's been stirring that in my heart, I've been looking for God and looking for his solution to some of the areas that I'm trusting God in. All right, God, I'm going to trust you. And if it means I'm trusting you, it means you're going to be there. It means you're doing something. And I've had some interesting things start to take place. And I don't know what the final result's going to be. But as they reveal themselves, I'll share them with you as the Lord leads. Okay, God, I trust you in this area. I'm not sure this looks impossible. I don't know. But God's able, amen, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Last verse, verse 21. And this is the point. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That God would receive the glory. He gives us this love. His power works in us. He does all this wonderful thing. Not so we can walk around and say, oh, look at me. God loves me. You know? The Jews did that, didn't they? God loves me. You Gentiles, you horrible, you guys, No, but Christ came and reconciled both the Jew and the Gentile, making the mystery of the church, making a new creation that's set apart to him, a people holy unto him. And the purpose is so that God receives the glory. Oh, that this church, every one of us, would know the love of God. And oh, that this church would glory and glorify God in all that we say and do. We're going to take communion, so I'll ask for the board to come up. We're going to do things a little different this morning. We're going to pray over the elements, and then we're going to pass them out through you, through the congregation, so you don't need to come forward this morning. And as we're serving the elements, just search your heart, you know, and receive God's love for you. He loves you, and as you hold the bread and the grape juice in your hand, you're holding the symbolism of his love. And if you have things in your life you need to confess them before the Lord. Search your heart, the scripture tells us, before you receive communion. We're going to pray, and then we'll pass them out. Father, we just say thank you, Lord. Lord, for these elements that represent the body that was broken for us, the blood that was shed for us because of your love for us. Lord, we don't take this lightly this morning. Lord, we don't do it out of a routine or out of tradition. Lord, we do it this morning with hearts that are humbled by your love, hearts that rejoice in your love. And Lord, I pray for anybody here this morning, Lord, that struggles to receive your love. Would you come this morning, as Paul prayed, and strengthen them in their inner man, that they could have Christ in their hearts, rooted and grounded in love. Lord, we pray against the lies of the enemy that says that God doesn't love us. We pray against the lies of the enemy that says we'll never be good enough to receive God's love. God, we pray against those things by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we speak truth and life this morning, according to the word that we've already read this morning, that while we were still sinners, you died for us. You laid down your life for us. So this morning, as we receive communion, God, may we be receiving your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, this morning we just receive your love. And I pray, God, that as we leave here today, Lord, that we would explore your love, discovering the vastness of it. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've rejected your love. Forgive us for the times, God, that we've limited your love. Help us to understand it, God, that we could comprehend it. So that way we can walk in it. Lord, we know in our intellect that you are love. And we know that you love us. But God, may it penetrate down to our inner man. May it penetrate into our spirit man. That we can experience the fullness of God in our lives. Lord, just thank you for our time together today. What a wonderful time we had in your presence. Pray, God, we just leave here today, God, just encouraged in our heart, not being discouraged. And God, would you just strengthen us? Would you reveal your love to us? Would you allow your power to work in us and through us so that you would receive the glory? In Jesus' name, amen.